Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
The special pain of homelessness in the winter months. Cleve Ray from Boston.
We don't feel like we're treated as human beings. We feel like we're treated more like livestock. And it's amazing that the city of Boston, as progressive as it is, and as much of a shining light as it is on the top of the hill, just kind of ignores human beings the way they ignore the homeless.
It's 58-year-old Cleve Ray talking about having to be moved en masse from a shelter in the Boston area because of safety concerns. He's right. Massachusetts has a progressive policy toward the homeless compared to the rest of the nation, but it also has a rising homeless population. Our next guest insists that a seeming impossible goal is within reach, however, the elimination of homelessness altogether. Philip Mangano was the nation's homeless czar under President George W. Bush. He's now president of the American Roundtable to Abolish Homelessness, based in Boston.
In Massachusetts, the number of families accessing homeless programs has gone up pretty substantially. I think there's undoubtedly a number of different reasons, and part of that is that notion of the right to shelter, that there is an oral tradition in Massachusetts around the notion of a right to shelter, and sometimes that has the effect of taking people out of doubled-up situations where they might be living with mom or an aunt and bringing them into the homeless system. So some of the incentives need to be fine-tuned, I think, and as a result of the lack of fine-tuning in that regard, more and more families, I would say, are literally hemorrhaging into homelessness in Massachusetts. And that's something I think that the new governor intends to tackle pretty early in his administration.
What do you say to the argument that, no, the homelessness rate is rising because people are crossing state lines to take advantage of the liberal programs in the state of Massachusetts?
Well, you know, in my work in Washington, I spent a lot of time in counties and cities all across our country. I never found one that didn't think that people were crossing the border, whether it was a city or a county or a state. There was always homeless people were coming from someplace else. They were never self-produced, so to speak. There is some truth to that, for sure. But in every set of data that's ever been done, every study that's ever been done, homeless people actually have a higher percentage of having been grown up in that community than the general population of the community. So there's some mythical elements to the notion that homeless people are coming from elsewhere to despoil our beautiful parks and beaches.
So how do you deal with some of that mythology? How do you get people who are in a position of responsibility to really face the reality of homelessness and hopefully have that reality help them make better decisions?
I think that speaks exactly to the advances that we've made in the last decade or 15 years on an issue that used to be based on conjecture and anecdote and good intentions. We've now advanced, I'd say evolved, to the place where we actually collect data and do research on the homeless population. What that research tells us is how expensive homeless people are in the community. We've learned that the random ricocheting of homeless people through very expensive health and law enforcement systems, so whether it's the emergency room of the hospital, that kind of data that demonstrates that the most expensive people in a community are in fact people who are living on the streets and ricocheting between shelters and all of those systems. That has not only initiated political will around the issue, but the fact that the costs are so great, that sustained political will over time. One of the things that we did in Washington is we asked communities to do research on how much it cost before a homeless person was housed, and then what were the costs after they were housed. What we learned was you could sustain people in homelessness for $35,000 to $150,000, or you could literally end their homelessness for $12,000 to $25,000. And that's what brought so many mayors, literally 1,000 mayors and county executives, to reduce and to attempt to end homelessness.
How do you think homelessness can be abolished, as you advocate? People think of it as a consequence of other things that happen, not a an imposition like slavery?
Well, a lot of the work that we need to do around the country, here in Boston, across Massachusetts, and around the nation, is to look at the public policy around homelessness and bring remedy to that public policy, to upgrade the public policy to be in tune with some of the innovative ideas that now dominate this issue. I think 15 years ago, you couldn't say this, but now we can. We know what to do, and we know how to do it.
Can you remind us how you underwent this personal transformation to move from doing something fundamentally different to really believing that this is solvable in your lifetime?
For me, in my own historical pursuits, I ran into the incredible relentlessness of the abolitionists. And as you know, one of their centers of location was here in Massachusetts. People like William Lloyd Garrison and John Andrew, who was actually the first Republican governor of Massachusetts, was a staunch abolitionist. They were attempting to bring remedy to a social disgrace that had been in our country for 200 years, that had been in human history for 6,000 years, and they believed that the time to bring it to an end had come. And even though they were ridiculed and laughed at, in fact, they were in tune with the common sense of the future. We would now not think about owning people. That if you went into a room of 5,000 people, whether in the North or the South in our country now, no one would think they should own anyone, that it was ridiculous. It was nonsense. Well, they brought the abolitionists of the 1840s, 50s, 60s, they brought the common sense of the future, our common sense that we now share, into their own time. Part of our work on the abolition of homelessness is that we understand not many years from now, our children, our grandchildren will wonder how we ever tolerated our neighbors being on the streets of our communities, on the streets of our nation.
Philip Mangano is president of the American Roundtable to Abolish Homelessness in Boston, Massachusetts. Philip, thanks so much.
Thank you so much, John, for having me.